In Jesus' name we pray all this. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. And we're going to be finishing up in our series that we started a couple weeks ago called Dreams and Visions. And somebody might be thinking, thank God we're moving on to something else here. We've been in this, and we've been reading a passage in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, and this morning is no different. I want us to go to read that scripture. Maybe at this point you can quote it now, which would be amazing, but I want us to read this passage of scripture again in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 17, and it says, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh," right? I mean, even though that's inclusive, man, that's a big inclusion of everybody who would be willing to have God's Spirit poured on them. God saying, "I will pour out my Spirit on you," declares the Lord. "I'll pour it out on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And even on my male servants and my female servants, and in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now, we've been talking about dreams and visions, and this idea. I've always had poor vision. Okay, I've always had poor eyesight. How many of you are with me? You wear contacts, corrective lenses of some kind. I'm wearing contacts now, and I also have to have reading glasses. That just tells you how bad it is. Okay, my doctor told me. He said, "Man, he's like, it happens to everybody somewhere in 40 years old." He says, "Your eyes change." Maybe some of you guys. How many of you guys you need reading glasses? You know, how many of you need reading glasses, but you won't admit it? Okay, all right. But we know, because you're always like, "What does that say?" I can't. It's like, man, just get some reading glasses, right? And so it can be frustrating. And I guess where I just really want to start today is this: it's difficult to know what to do if you can't see where you're going. Okay, it's difficult to know what to do if you can't see where you're going. And I want to talk to you today about vision for the future, our future here at New Life. What does that look like? And we talked, just about broken dreams the first week, and then over the last couple weeks, we've talked about God's dream for your family and getting a vision for your family. But today, I want to talk specifically about what is God's vision for our church here at New Life. What does that look like? And so before we get there, before we can answer the question, and that's what I wrote down, so New Life, where are we going, right? Before I can answer that question, where are we going, I need to remind us about who we are. Because wherever we go, if we forget who we are when we get there, I don't think it's worth being there, okay? I think that we always have to remember who we are. We always have to remember who God has called us to be. And so I always want to take that chance to remind us here at New Life, who are we as a church? And you've heard us talk about this. We talked about this on one day, had a big banner back there behind me that said, "We exist to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and to engage them in the life and mission of the church." That's what we believe. If you hang out here long enough, you'll see that. You'll see that on things that we print. You'll go to our website and see it there. But I want it to be more than just on our marketing, and I want it to be on our hearting, right? That's where it's got to be. It's got to be in our heart that we know, God, this is who we are as a church. This is who we are as the body of Christ, that as we come together, our sole mission is to know you and to make you known, right? Is to know Jesus and to make Jesus known. And we know that because if we go to Matthew chapter 28, let's go over to Matthew chapter 28. Jesus himself gives us what we call the Great Commission. And we see this beginning in verse 18 of Matthew 28. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.' And so we see that Jesus has commissioned us. He has given us a commandment, right? Basically, he says, hey, this is who you're going to be. This is who you need to be. And so that's before we can talk about where we're going. I just want us to be reminded about who we are. So who are we? Not only are we a church that exists to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, but we are a people, just like what we've read here, we are a people that are on mission. We have a mission. That is our mission. If this ever stops being our mission, then we need to shut down. We need to close the doors on this place because we've stopped being what God wants us to be. And so we are a people who are on mission. We are a people who are full of grace. How are we full of grace? Because we've received grace. That's what we find in John chapter 1. If you go read John chapter 1, John's Gospel chapter 1, he talks about Jesus came full of grace and truth. And so if we are here to lead people into a growing relationship with who? With Jesus Christ. That means that as we receive the grace of Jesus, that also means we need to be willing to what? Give that grace away. And so not only do we need to receive forgiveness, we need to give forgiveness. So we are a people who are on mission. We are a people who are full of grace. We are a people who are dedicated to truth. We are dedicated to truth. We're not dedicated to my truth, and I'm not dedicated to your truth. I am dedicated to the truth. And all truth is God's truth. That's what I believe. All truth belongs to God. If anything is true, it belongs to God. And so that's what I'm dedicated to. I am dedicated to the truth that we find in who Jesus Christ is. And that's what, once again, that's what we find in John's Gospel chapter 1, where he says, Jesus came full of grace and truth. And so if we are people who are growing in a relationship with Jesus, we've got to be growing in grace, and we've got to be growing in truth, that we allow the truth of God to impact us. And sometimes truth is painful. Anybody ever seen the painful truth of yourself, right? Somebody ever told you the painful truth, something that you didn't want to hear but you needed to hear it? And so that's who we are. We are people of grace, and we are people of truth. We are people that nurture growth, right? That's why we're here. We're not here to regress. We're not here to get worse. If that's the case, once again, we need to shut the doors. We're here to grow. We're here to get better. We're here to progress in what it looks like to reflect Jesus on a daily basis. What does that look like? What does Jesus look like reflected in me? What does Jesus sound like as I reflect that in how I talk and my attitudes and how I treat people? That needs to be growing each and every day. And so if that's who we are, we exist to lead people into a growing relationship. What does that look like? That means that we do things where we meet together on a regular basis. We come not just on Sunday, but we get together in groups and we encourage one another. We pray for one another. You know, sometimes we talk about the hard truths, right? The hard truth that, hey man, maybe I'm not living how I should be. And this is what it looks like to bring my life in alignment with who God is and what God says and what God's word says. And so when we do that, we become people not only of grace and truth, we become people of growth. And so that's who we are. We want to be people who are on a mission. We want to be people who are full of grace. We want to be people who seek to live out the truth, to find truth and live that truth out. We are people to nurture growth. We are also a church and a people who value relationship. I value my relationship with you. That you're not just here to be part of a number on Sundays. I value the conversations that we have together, and I want you to value the conversations that not only we have together, but that you guys are having together. That we value authentic relationship. That we're not just coming in and putting on the mask and saying, man, everything is great, everything is awesome. Sometimes not everything is great, and sometimes not everything is awesome. And so when we talk about that and we can meet each other in an authentic way, that we can be a people who value true relationship and what that looks like. And so we are a church and we are a people that value relationship, and we are a people that invite you into discipleship. We value relationship and we invite you into discipleship, and they go hand in hand. I don't believe that you can disciple someone without having a relationship with them. I believe that you must have the relational aspect if you're going to have that discipleship aspect. That's what Jesus modeled. That's what Jesus did. He lived with these guys for 3.5 years. He modeled in front of them. He saw them fail, and some of them failed miserably. You know what? And what did Jesus do? He met them in their failure and called them back from the brink of failure and called them into His grace and into His truth and into His mercy. And He called them, continue to follow me. Come follow me. And that's what we're here to do. We are here to follow Jesus, reflect Jesus in everything that we do, to be in relationship one with another, and also to invite people to enter a relationship of discipleship. When that looks like, hey, that we're following Jesus in truth, in grace, in mission, in growth. So that's who we are. We are a church that exists to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. But not only did I want to remind you about who we are, we also need to look at where we've come from before we look at where we're going, right? So how many of you know that you're, where you're at, your present, your past kind of give context to where you're headed, okay? And so where have we been? Where have we been over the last year? We've had some great things happen over the last year. And this morning, I love going through these numbers and these things that just remind me, God, this is what you've done. And there's so much. I miss stuff in the first service, and people say, hey, you forgot about this. I'm going to forget about things. And you know what? That's all right. We just need to keep reminding, hey, this happened too, and this happened too. I love that as we remind each other about what's happened. See, the Spirit, when we talk about Acts chapter 2, and God pouring out His Spirit, the Spirit's outpouring fuels the church's outreach, okay? The Spirit's outpouring fuels our outreach. So what does our outreach look like this past year? We have grown by 100-plus people in 1 year. We've had over 100 people connect with our church and make this their church home. So we were a church of about 300 last year. This year, we're a church of 400 people on average every Sunday. And so we've grown by more than 100 people over the last year. Over the last year, we talked about, hey, we need to do what? We make room, right? You heard us over the last couple of years talked about make room. We need to make room. We need to make room. That's why we did, we went to 3 services in February. We made room. And you know what happened when we made room? People began to fill in the room, right? People began to come in. And that's what we've seen, is that people have connected. So we made room and it paid off. We made room and God filled the space. And I love that. We've seen 80 people in the last 2 years become partners here at New Life. What does that mean? Not just membership, because we stopped using the term membership because, you know what? Many of you guys join all kinds of things and you're never part of it. Right? How many of you guys have a gym membership but you never go? Don't raise your hand. That's all right. It's before Thanksgiving. Right? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty, although you haven't been in that gym in about 6 months. Okay? And so we understand sometimes you could be a member of something and you don't participate with it. That's why we started calling it partnership, because we want you to be partners with us. And that's what we found is that we found in the last 2 years, we found 80 people who say, hey, I want to be partner with you in ministry, where we do ministry together and we're living life in such a way where we're reflecting this love of Jesus and this grace of Jesus. So we've had 80 people become partners in the last 2 years. This year, alone, we've baptized about 20 people. And I say about 20 people because we've had a few spontaneous baptisms where people just would show up and say, hey, I want to get baptized. And that's okay. We love that. As long as we have water, we'll dunk you. We don't care, right? And sometimes we don't even need a tank to dunk you in. We'll pour a bottle of water over you, right? So we've been there and done that. And so the last year, we baptized about 20 people. We've had this last semester of life group, we've had 17 different life groups where people are meeting together on a regular basis, and they're praying with one another, and they're talking about life, and they're going through Bible studies, and they're doing activities together, and so they're living life, and there's these 17 different groups that we've seen. We see life change happening. Over the last year, this is amazing. Over the last year, we've had over $200,000 worth of improvements and upgrades completed on this campus this year, and we've paid for all of it. We haven't had to take out a loan for any of it, guys. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I love that. Yeah. We've seen where we've increased parking space, right? Where that used to be grass and dirt and mud, and now you have a nice, big, beautiful parking lot out there that people are able to come in. We do events out there, and people are able to park. And we've had increased our small group space, and so we've been able to do these things because people have been faithful. They've given to it. They've allowed God to use them and their gifts and talents, and we're grateful for that. And so we've been able to make over $200,000 worth of improvements and upgrades this past year on this property. We've also, in the last year, and you can go look on our website, newliferh.com. You can go look on our website, and there's a page that just says missions. And you can go look on that missions page, and it'll show you everything that we've been, all the different missions that we've been a part of in the last 14 years. We've tried to keep track of that, and there may be one or two that we've missed, but we've tried to keep track of everything that we've partnered with, whether it's overseas, whether it's across the river here in this region, or whether it's here in Bryan County locally, that we've done something. And so on that missions page, it gives you all that. But just this year, we've had 22 different ministries and outreaches that we've been a part of, where we've been a part of missions projects to Southeast Asia, where we've supported Kevin Chapman and his mission to go in and take girls out of human trafficking in Thailand. And they're going in and they're pulling girls out of that and getting them into safe homes where they're able to get an education, where they're able to be fed, where they're able to be taken care of and loved and cared for, and stop the abuse in their life. And they're introduced to Jesus. And people are just living this life out in front of them. And so some of you guys remember when Kevin was here and was telling the story. We've been a part of that. This stuff that Keith has been a part of, this mission that Keith has been a part of in Burma, where he's going in and taking people whose lives have been blown apart literally by civil war in their country. And people are going in, namely one of our elders, Keith, to go show who Jesus is and share his skills and talents with them, but most importantly to share the love of Jesus that he has in his heart with them. These are things that we support. These are things that we've been a part of, and that's just overseas. We've been a part of hurricane relief here in our country, where we have sent supplies. We've been partnered with the Convoy of Hope. The Convoy of Hope came here in August and helped us when this room was full of just supplies and water and groceries, and people would come in here and shop for groceries because we had our own flooding situation here in Richmond Hill. And Convoy of Hope partnered with us then. And then once again, when Hurricane Helene came through, and we partnered with them again to send donations to hurricane for that hurricane. So we have seen just ministry happen. And we've not tried to just say, hey, it's all about New Life Church. There have been different churches that we've partnered with, and we've tried to bless. That we've sent a financial donation to a church, Reclamation Church, in Spring Lake, North Carolina, where they were kind of in the same boat as us, trying to figure out what does this look like. We have more people than we've got building, and so they had to go to three services as well, and we sent a monetary offering to them just to help bless them, to get them on their way, and they're getting ready to launch into a building campaign to expand their property. We were able to just here in Bryan County, in Richmond Hill, when the flooding happened, we partnered with First Baptist Church to make sure that we just provided a united front and that we were helping each other. And it was that was beautiful, man, that all the church pastors, we just got together and we were like, hey, man, how do you need help? What do you need us to do as a body of Christ? We don't care that it's that you're down this road and we're down this road. We serve a big God, and we serve Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if Jesus is anything, he's got to bring us together. And so it was in that time we were able to serve the people of First Baptist Church when they were out of their sanctuary for a little while. We were able to help serve Consume Church when they were looking for a new place. So we've sent some monetary offerings there to help them across the river in Hardyville. We helped Pastor Adam's church. Some of you guys remember Pastor Adam that was on staff here. So it's not just about New Life Church here and what's going on here. We believe that God's kingdom is bigger than us. We believe that God's vision and mission is bigger than us. And we want to be part of seeing that just roll out in this community. we were able to serve approximately 250 families during the flooding here, where people were able to come get groceries. We were able to provide groceries to about 250 families. I was trying to get those numbers. That's kind of give or take last night with those who work with that. We spent $15,000 in August to help keep people housed and from being without a home, right? And so that was helping keep people in hotel rooms so they could get back into a place to stay. We've spent $15,000 here at New Life Church. Since August, we've spent about $25,000 just in benevolence, where we're helping people with various things to say, hey, you know, we want to be the church to be able to help say yes. Right, and sometimes we have to help them say the best yes, just like the story that Taylor told last week about the girl we helped get to the Savannah Bible Training School, and just God has transformed her life. Those are the kind of things that we're wanting to say yes to. So this year we've given about $45,000 away to missions and ministry. Amen. That we've been able to do that. We've been able to just say, this is not ours. We're not trying to build all this big bank account. We're putting this in the missions and ministry. And so far, that's just so far. Typically, December becomes one of our biggest giving times. And that's where we're looking to, that's really the time where we probably give out the most to say, hey, this is where we're going to send money here. We're going to send supplies. We're going to do this because you partner with us to allow that to happen. This is what we have been doing over the last year. Amen. And isn't that good? Isn't that good? Sometimes you guys say, well, Pastor, what do you do all day? What do you do all week? What's your other job? It's like, this is a full-time job, I promise you. And we're not playing golf. I would love to be playing golf, and I'm not. And so there's a lot that happens. There's a lot that we get an opportunity to be part of, and we're grateful to be able to step into that. So that's who we are. That's where we've been. Where are we going? So, and I've got to do this quickly. Where we're going, and if you go to the Church Center app, you can pull up the Church Center app or either go to the church website. There is a little button that says Vision for the Future. And what this does is it gives you a little bit of some drawings. These are kind of some rough drawings that have been done for a vision of a new building that we want to build. We want to build, it's about a 470-seat sanctuary. It'll increase our space by about 12,000, our worship space by about 12,000 square feet. Attached to that is about a 4,000 square foot covered pavilion, which would allow us to have places for, like, when we're getting together for pie parties. Anybody come to the pie party? Wasn't that good? Woo! We can do more pie parties, right? When we have a place like that. To be able to have a 4,000 square foot covered pavilion that's able to hold about 450 people seated at tables. It's also going to allow us to take this building here and turn this into next gen ministries, where children's ministry and youth ministry will take place inside this building here. Our current existing structure will become a next generation ministry building, and it'll also allow us to expand our kitchen facilities. And so all that is great. It's awesome, right? Didn't that sound really good? This is the kicker, all right? It costs money to do that, okay? And right now, our church, we owe about $130,000. We have about $130,000 in debt, all right? And so before we do anything with a next step, we are going to eliminate that debt. I don't believe that we're going to compound debt on top of debt. I believe that we need to retire that debt. And so that's the first thing that we're going to do. We're setting a plan to eliminate that debt, to get out from underneath that. You say, well, that doesn't sound like a whole lot. It's not a whole lot. And in the scheme of things, it's a whole lot smaller when you start looking at it through God's eyes. And then as we begin to eliminate that debt. But that building next door that we want to build, We need to raise about $1.2 million after we eliminate that $130,000. You say, Pastor, that building's going to cost $1.2 million? No, I'm not saying that. That building's probably going to cost about $2.4 million. And that is a large undertaking. I do not have $2.4 million in my wallet right now, okay? I wish I did. If I did, I'd pay for it, right? But maybe you do. And if you want to, you know, write a check to date, that would be amazing. And we would take that check and cash it gladly. But these are things that we see, things that we want to do, places that we want to go. And we feel that God has given us a vision for the future. But we're not going to compromise who we are, what we've done, the kind of ministry that we do to step into that kind of future, right? I don't believe that's God's plan for us either, to compromise who we are and how we see ministry to make that become a reality. And so this is kind of that action plan, as we're going to raise the money. We're going to eliminate the debt. We're going to raise money. And God, if you want us to have it, God, you're going to give it to us. Now, how many of you believe that God can do big things? I'm glad you said that, because I'd be terrified if I'm the only one here that's believing that. But I want you to stand with me, because I want us to end with communion this morning. And I joke that communion is the original Thanksgiving meal. Or it is the original Happy Meal, I'll say that. Eucharist means to give thanks. And if you look at what the model that Jesus modeled in communion, that's what he did. He said on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, and when he broke it, he gave thanks. That's what we do. We're in this season of Thanksgiving. How many of you got anything to be thankful for? Anybody, you've been healed? Has God brought healing to your life? How many of you have been transformed in your life? Your heart used to be one way and God transformed it to something else. How many of you probably should be dead today, but you're not, because God gave you another day. He gave you another day, and a day after that, and a day after that. So he's giving you a testimony too. We have so much to be thankful for. And so this morning, I want us to bow our heads just for a few minutes and prepare our heart. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, that you've brought us to this place to give thanks. And we do give thanks. We look into the future with boldness. And there's a big future that I know that you have for us, and it can be scary at times. But God, through you, we don't walk in fear. We don't operate in fear. We operate in faith. And we operate in wisdom. And so, Lord, in our prayers of faith and our conversations of wisdom, Lord, we're going to step this out and do this as you show us how this needs to look. So we thank you, God, that you've got great blessing for us. So, Lord, prepare our hearts now, prepare our minds to receive communion. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your love. We ask your grace and your mercy on our families and on this church right now in Jesus' name. I want you to take that bread, and I want you to pull it out. And I want you to just hold that little piece of bread up. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body. We thank you that you allowed your body to be put on a cross. They did not take your life. You gave your life up willingly. You became the price, the sacrifice for us. So, Lord, we thank you, and we give you praise, and we give you honor. And we thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that we have in our life today. We thank you for our families. We thank you for our children. We thank you for our husbands and wives. We thank you, Lord, for our moms and dads. We thank you, Lord, this morning for just the chance to be here today in this body, Lord, to give praise and give honor. We thank you today for all your blessings. And so now, Lord, we take and we break this little piece of bread, and we eat, take and eat. Back that next layer. Hold that little cup up. Lord, we honor you right now, and we thank you, Lord, for your blood. It's your blood that washes us clean. It's your blood that covers our sins. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that we can be transformed through your power, through your love, So that's what we pray today, Lord, that you would transform us. That we just don't dream dreams in unity, but Lord, that we allow your Spirit to be released into our life and into our church to help us be people that are transformed, to provide a place of transformation. So Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your sacrifice. We acknowledge that and we honor it right now. Take and drink. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this song together. Can we do that as we close out?
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart.